everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of Radio Radar, another morning episode. If you've listened in the past, you know we have our afternoon episodes, which is the ones we do on Thursday afternoon that are we're awake. And then there's the morning episodes we do when we were too busy on Thursday that we fake enthusiasm and excitement. So it ends up making us sound a million times more awake, despite the fact that any one of us is asleep at any given time. I'm your host, Hollinger Cooper. Here with me is...
Lucas Sullivan.
Henry Gilbert, though I think I should be the second introduced one.
Hold on.
You're out of dialogue.
Lucas, hold on. I'm your host, Hollinger Cooper. Here with me in studio is... And don't you guys dare say a fucking word.
Henry Gilbert.
Ryan Telchnik.
Oh, Lucas Sullivan.
And we have a fun show for you today. Starting off with the top seven. One of my favorite top sevens I've written in a while, just because it's a topic I've wanted to tackle for a good long time. And it's the top seven games that were originally totally different games. And so the title isn't great. I'm not going to lie.
It's a double L-Y.
But the focus is games that have secret pasts you might not have known about. Mm. Fuck, that's a better... The top seven games with secret pasts.
1 week too late.
Starting with number seven, which is Zombie U, which was originally a totally different game in Killer Freaks from Outer Space. Now, we're going to go back in time, time machine style, to 2011.
Whoa.
2011, Nintendo finally unveiled the Wii U for the first time, and no one had any games to show off except Ubisoft.
Which was really weird. Even Nintendo was like, these are demos, these are not games.
Yeah, they literally didn't have anything. Ubisoft, though, had Killer Freaks from Outer Space, which was a game made by Ubisoft Montpellier.
That's how you say that.
Caterpillar. And that was a studio that had done some Rabbids games in the past, and they were super tired of Rabbids games, so they legitimately set out to make a game where you shoot Rabbids in the face. So originally, they were making a game called Killer Rabbids from Outer Space, which was a first-person shooter in which you killed rabbits. Eventually, someone in Ubisoft was like, you obviously can't do that. So they changed them to Killer Freaks, which were green aliens. They showed the game off, and it was sort of had like a co-op focus or a multiplayer focus where one player would play as a first-person shooter on the TV, and the other player would control a UFO attacking with Killer Freaks on the screen. It looked okay, but...
I remember when former Games Radar editor Brett Elston came back from seeing the reveal. He was like, this looks like garbage. The Wii's ruined.
Yeah, it didn't look... It looked okay. The reaction wasn't great. But instead of doing what most publishers would do and just say, like, freak it, let's just do it, Ubisoft went back to the team and was like, just kind of start over, I guess. I know this is releasing in a year. And 1 year later, E3 2012... Ubisoft showed off Zombie U, which at first was like, oh, cool, where did this game come out of? Turns out it was literally a reworked version of Killer Freaks. And if you look at certain screenshots, I mean, obviously the multiplayer screenshots look different, but if you look at the screenshots, you see very similar locations, except instead of zombies, there were, like, green alien monsters leaping around.
So it's still set in London?
They never said that, I don't think, though the characters in the trailers had British accents.
And those cool hats.
Well, I don't think they had the cool hats in the trailer.
thinking of Zombie U now.
You are. But if you look, it's very similar locations, and I bet you... It looks like they didn't change... They didn't have to change everything, but obviously the tone changed completely because Zombie U is a very dark game with, like, a weird... It's not only is it dark, but it has, like, a weird... morose, kind of depressing tone throughout. And looking at the trailers for Killer Freaks, it didn't have that. It was bloody and gross, but kind of fun.
Yeah, well, the kind of fun you'd expect from something that started as a Rabbids game.
Yeah, really early on as a Rabbids game. It was supposed to be kind of sarcastic, I'd say. But the thing that makes this game so impressive is, so Killer Freaks from Outer Space was shown off in June of 2011, and in November of 2012, Zombie U was released. So in that time, they made an entirely new game.
That is pretty mind-boggling.
And it ended up being one of the better Wii U launch titles. So that one was super cool. Number six is probably one you might have heard of, which is Star Fox Adventures, which was originally Dinosaur Planet. Now, not a similar story, but just like it. So N64 generation, Rare sort of did whatever the fuck Rare wanted to do.
And they made dozens of games.
Yeah, they made dozens of games. They made GoldenEye, Perfect Dark. They made Donkey Kong 64.
Gemini.
So they were essentially given, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted mm-hmm. even though they were owned by Nintendo. Especially because Donkey Kong Country did so well on the Super Nintendo, and that was Nintendo handing off a major franchise to them, which is why most people assumed that they were given Star Fox. But originally, they were making a game that had nothing to do with Star Fox. It was called Dinosaur Planet, mm-hmm. and it starred a guy named Saber, yes. who coincidentally was a fox.
He looks like a girl.
I feel like Saber was is a tribute to Saber Wolf, one of their first games.
It probably is. Correct. It was a wolf fox looking thing mm-hmm. On a planet covered with dinosaurs, and it was going to be an N64 game. And at one point, Miyamoto met with Rare and looked at it, and he said, "Like, listen, this is too close to Star Fox in terms of all the like. Not only that, but all the characters were just sort of the Star Fox looking characters, mm-hmm. like."
Well, because they always Rare mostly trades in anthropomorphic animal people as yeah. their main character, so it would fit. The conspiracy theory I read online from always correct gaming forums is that Miyamoto and Nintendo as a company knew they were going to sell off Rare in a couple years. So if they made Dinosaur Planet just as Dinosaur Planet, they might own the rights to that franchise. But if they change it into a Star Fox game, Nintendo owns it.
So realistically, there's probably some validity to that.
I think, I mentioned it because it sounds at least half believable.
Yeah, so jeez. Nintendo had them rework the game as a GameCube game. One of the better looking GameCube games, legitimately.
Yeah,
even though it came out kind of early.
Yeah.
And a lot of the characters stayed the same. You still had Tricky, which was a Triceratops?
I think so. Triceratops type thing.
I'm super out of practice when it comes to my dinosaur knowledge. As a kid, I would have known that in a split second.
Well, weren't Triceratops as dinosaurs proved to be not really dinosaurs?
You
like they didn't exist.
No, I think it was like in name only. Like the thing we think of as a Triceratops is actually a different dinosaur with a different name that looks exact. It was like a small version of a bigger. Usually when they say this dinosaur didn't exist, I'm sorry to go on a dinosaur rant.
sorry, we built it wrong.
It usually isn't that. It's usually like, oh wait, this is just a baby of that other dinosaur. Like that existed, it just was another one.
All right.
But also changed was it Crystal?
Crystal.
Crystal was going to be in Dinosaur Planet, and they just made her, like, tribal. Like, that was she was originally just going to be kind of like a normal character, and they're just like, we need to make her tribal because dinosaurs.
Said she was a sexy tribal blue fox.
Emphasis on sexy.
She was, have you seen some of the character art that Rare...
Google that, you're going to see some things.
But I mean, the official character art that Rare made, I was like, wow, Rare, you really took your furry thing a little too far.
Also, I just got an idea for a top seven. I need someone. Lucas, can you write this down?
Sure.
It's the top seven anthropomorphic video game characters that are supposed to be sexy. Like a focus on that pen fell apart when I handed it to you.
Oh,
a focus
here. On Lucas, that one chick from Elysian Tale. Dust.
Oh,
the idea that video game developers are like, let's make our character a wolf, except a wolf that all the male people playing want to have sex with.
Babs Bunny.
That doesn't even count because she's too sexy.
Whatever.
That was so unnecessary. Like
I like Babs.
Her because of the follow-up Looney Tunes show.
I liked her in that movie,
because
too.
Really?
Yeah. We can Space Jam. If I start talking about Space Jam, I'm never going to stop.
Shut
so I'm going to
shut up and jam. Babs Bunny is not the Space Jam Bunny. That wasn't her name Honey?
Nope.
Babs is the Tiny Toons Bunny.
Oh, Lola Bunny.
Lola Bunny is
what
I meant.
I'm thinking of Lola.
I still like Lola.
Babs is legit. Lola's a skank.
Wow, harsh words.
That is the racist
she is
word.
So, she
come
is, but
out
she
of
is
Lucas's
so
mouth.
Good on the new show. She is such a good character.
Get that skank out of here. Fuck that, Babs. All right, Lola.
Number five. Halo was originally going to be a third-person shooter and a real-time strategy on Mac.
What a weird genesis for
yeah.
that game.
So early on, like the big thing everyone talks about if they followed this was like, yeah, Halo was going to be an RTS. But Halo as an RTS was apparently a very early conceptual thing that they dropped. But there are videos around where you just see like a bunch of Halo Marines tumbling. Just because they're like, look, we could make Halo Marines tumble.
Well, did you see the concept video that Steve Jobs presented?
Yeah, that was the third-person shooter
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and that looked so funny. But it's, you know what really, just because it was like Master Chief, and I think at the time there were several Master Chiefs
the Spartans were still...
Yeah, and he's just running around with his arms raised straight up like a robot, like, and then the iconic Halo music is playing in the background.
It's such a weird video that we have. The video is linked to in the article, but so Steve Jobs at Macworld in like 98 or 99 is just like, Mac's gaming is getting better every year, and to prove it, we have the co-founder of Bungie who's going to show off his new Halo, and I think you're going to like it. And then, like, the guy from Bungie comes out and is like, hi, and he pushes a button, and it's legitimately, like, super early third-person shooter Halo.
You know what really, really was cool for me to see was that how much of that was retained in the actual Halo game. Like, it showed Banshees, and it showed...
Elites.
That elite sword looks almost identical
all
to
of that
the...
stuff kind of made an appearance. And it was just
and
really
then, except
to
for the fact
it.
That, like, the elite is about to fight a Master Chief who's using just, like, a sword. It's like, I have a feeling that laser sword's going to win, buddy. But, yeah, so, story, obviously, Microsoft buys Bungie, probably after watching the video at Macworld.
Oh, God.
We can't buys Bungie, tells them to, or asks them to change it to a first-person shooter, and Halo is born. So it's probably the only example of this list of, like, a game starting off as the largest competitor to what it ended up being.
Yeah, it's very odd. I also remember at E3 2001 when they showed the game, like, it had a ton of technical difficulties, and everybody was like, God, Halo is the big game for the Xbox? That thing's going to fail.
Yeah. And
what
then,
a piece of shit.
Little lo and behold. Number four, Doom was conceived as a licensed Aliens game. Yeah, so obviously Wolfenstein 3D was huge.
Yeah.
Made it a bunch of money, but for their next game, they didn't want to just repeat the same thing. So early on in development, before they decided to go in any direction, they were like, this game was big enough that we can probably make a licensed game if we want to. And obviously, this was in an era before licensed games were shit. Like, seen as shit. It was before, like...
They weren't totally shit.
Yeah, they weren't seen as bad things. It was like, oh, wow, imagine if we could get a license. So they approached 20th Century Fox and started building a shooter based on Aliens. That deal fell through. And they had to scramble and make a new game. Which is funny, because if you look at what Doom ended up being, it really doesn't make any sense unless you know it was. Like, why would they make a shooter on Mars where you fight demons?
The demons that come
Satanists,
out of Mars.
Man. They're everywhere.
They just turned the aliens brown, removed their weird elongated helmet things, and then gave the brown aliens a bunch of cool spike bracelets.
Yeah, changed the planet to red. But I mean, if you look at, like, the plot of every Aliens movie past Alien is, like, you go to a faraway planet, there's a space station or a base, and oh my goodness, they're breeding aliens there. Like, that's Aliens in the 20th century, and... And that's essentially the plot of Doom.
That all makes sense now. Did you guys see the Doom movie? It's pretty awful.
Oh, God, no.
That first-person segment, I was
You know what? Everybody makes fun of that first-person segment.
I think it was the best part.
I saw that on YouTube.
Didn't that movie come out a little after Doom 3?
Yeah, I think they meant to time it for Doom 3, and then it came out after. But my favorite part in the movie is when they see the BFG, and then The Rock goes, big fucking gun.
Don't they not shoot a single alien with it? It's just like they shoot through a wall.
I propose we live stream everyone watching that movie.
I still have not seen it, but I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson with a fevered passion.
My favorite movie of his is Pacifier, where he babysits children.
Wait, that was Vin Diesel.
Whatever.
You're thinking of the one where he was a tooth fairy, or the one where he was a football player.
Yeah, okay. Either one of those. Or in the Race to Witch Mountain movie, he was kind of...
In a pacifier, he gets attacked by a duck. Or no, Vin Diesel gets attacked by a duck.
and loses?
I believe he does.
Well, I got to say you're racist for thinking Vin Diesel is The Rock.
I do apologize. That was an extreme error, one of which I'm incredibly embarrassed of. I wish I were dead.
Number three, Dead Space may have originally been a System Shock sequel. So there's a lot of controversy around this one. In the comments,
pretty
you can
shocking stuff.
Read about whether or not this one's entirely true. But reading between the lines, it certainly appears to be so. So EA Redwood, EA had the license to make a System Shock sequel, and EA being EA was gonna make a sequel. They're gonna make a sequel. So,
and it's gonna have multiplayer.
Yes. So EA is working. EA Redwood starts working on System Shock 3. But along the way, EA finds that they have the They have the rights to the title System Shock.
Okay.
But they don't have the rights to release a video game in the System Shock series. So the story officially is like EA goes like, well, we got to cancel this game, and they cancel it, and then they make a new game. But that is the team that went – and like nothing was shown of that System Shock game. Mm. And then that's the team that went on to make Dead Space, which is a game that is literally System Shock 3 in a jar. Like System Shock's
– there's just not – a voice of a computer talking to you the entire time.
Yeah, the thing that makes System Shock is essentially like the downfall of a society and finding out what happened mainly through audio logs is one of the major things about System Shock. Right. And also usually it takes place in outer space. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot of things like people have pointed out the message of make us whole being a big message throughout Dead Space is also a System Shock.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that.
It's there are lots of similarities, and yeah, so Dead Space probably. It's the only – most of the other ones on this list is like, yeah, this is confirmed.
There's an easy paper trail.
This one, it's like there's a paper trail that like stops in 2006 and then picks up like 3 months later. But as long as you can do some add some creativity to the mix.
I want to believe.
I want to believe too. I'm going to have a poster on my wall that's just a picture of Isaac standing next to that goofy-looking alien wallpaper from System Shock with I Want to Believe underneath it.
There you go.
So it'll end up being groovy in the end. Number two.
Mm-hmm. The one everyone knows.
Devil May Cry started off as Resident Evil 4.
Yes. Rezzy.
Well, that. So, yeah. I know the history of this because I wrote about it for the history of Platinum Games recently, which is, so Hideki Kamiya took over as director on Resident Evil from Shinji Mikami with Resident Evil 2. Then following Resident Evil 2, while he's working on 4... another team makes 3, which is why 3 is kind of weird compared to 2. He's working on 4.
And they want to make 4 different, they said.
Yeah. And he starts making it a hard action game starring a funny dude.
Who's like immortal. Like a super, like the series has always obviously been you're a slow human in a weird place. And they're like, let's make him have superpowers.
Yeah. And then ultimately, you know, they kept going with it. And Mikami then saw the game. And he was like, this just isn't Resident Evil. But don't cancel it.
Yes.
And then it transformed into Devil May Cry.
Yeah, so...
which is the game that made me want to buy a PS2 super badly.
And if you actually... like, they actually were going to make Resident Evil 4 take place in, like, a gothic kind of... like, all of the environments in Devil May Cry were originally going to be Resident Evil. Like, they
which
did...
explains why they're so confusing.
They did so much research and, like, went around traveling the world getting, like, photography of gothic design because apparently this was before Google. Well, it was probably
it's quite possible.
And
Alta Vista.
Yeah, they had to use Alta Vista.
Ask Jeeves.
Dog pile.
Oh God.
And Mama. Remember Mama?
Nope.
I never did.
Wasn't that a search? It was the mother of all search engines.
Oh,
that was the gimmick.
Del Toro horror.
Oh.
He's only presenting that. He's not like.
But yeah, so they just kept going with it, and it's interesting because. It's a rare example of, like, it was one game that ended up being another, and then both ended up being awesome. So you got Devil May Cry and Resident Evil 4, and everybody was happy.
Also, after then Mikami started a new Resident Evil 4, and then he didn't even like that. And then he started over again.
I wonder what that one was.
That one I'm not so clear on. I think he felt it was too dark. They had a scene in the first teaser trailer. They showed that, like,
Leon
was infected with something that was giving him superpowers.
Yeah, I remember that footage. They showed it off at like E3.
Yeah.
Like that game had a ton of previews when it was like, and it ended up being a totally different game.
Yeah.
Like Resident Evil 4 can almost be on this list on its own just because of how much it changed during development.
That's wild. Also, man, Devil May Cry was such an uneven game. Like, I remember enjoying the game all the way through, and then you get to the end, like, I'm flying an airplane? What the fuck is this?
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. It ends with you flying a biplane, like basically like Lando escaping the Death Star in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, fuck. Now I remember.
Yeah.
I also love people that get super upset that they changed the plot of Devil May Cry. It's like, you mean guy with white hair fighting marionettes? Like, what? Yeah.
It has no fucking plot.
The entire first game, you fought puppets. For no reason.
No, cry out the fanboys. There is a plot. It's just buried in this deep, complex world, and you have to dig for it.
Number one on the top seven games that were originally totally different games, Donkey Kong was supposed to be a Popeye game.
Now I love me some Popeye, which that would have sucked.
It wouldn't have sucked because it literally would have been the same exact game. So
just different characters.
Think about the fact that you have Mario, you have a new character running up girders where at the top there's a big strong person holding a woman captive. That's essentially, and every so often he gets a power up that makes him super strong.
And that girder, like, I feel like there were at least four Popeye cartoons I watched as a kid where they were running through a construction site.
Yeah, that was a trope of
so if you literally just change out all of the characters in Donkey Kong to characters and, like, you change the power-ups to just spinach.
Yeah, why would holding that, see, it makes more sense when it's spinach. When Mario grabs a hammer, he's like, hey, yeah, I've got super hammer powers. Wham, wham, wham. Well, meanwhile, Popeye eating spinach and then punching barrels till they explode. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, why would Mario be like, I don't need this hammer anymore?
I could do it without this hammer.
He builds up extreme confidence and then...
And also, obviously, like, when Mario has the hammer, it starts a little song that would stop playing. So when Popeye got it, you could easily just hear it. Dun, 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 the plays every time when Popeye...
Well, and so apparently, I mean, if you read the story about Miyamoto just getting hired by who was it?
Hiroshi Yamauchi.
Yeah, Yamauchi just didn't like he wasn't like a fun person.
A real grump.
He was literally just the grumpiest
right
man
down to brass tacks.
Yeah,
with
he was not a he wasn't he'd have like when people like obituaries are always like he liked to laugh. Yamauchi's obituary would not say that. That
he's
would be
still alive at like 92.
Yeah, and just scowling. And he hired Miyamoto and was like, "All right, make a game." And Miyamoto's like, "Well, I like chain smoking and also gambling and also Popeye." So he just made a Popeye game, and then he realized that he wasn't going to get the rights. And actually, Tom, who's not here, Tom Agrino had to work from home when we recorded this, said he would love to have been in the room when somebody had to sit down with like young, excited Miyamoto, who has all these sketches of like Popeye on his desk, and be like, "Listen, we couldn't get the Popeye license." And just seeing Miyamoto be like, "Fuck!" and just like freaking out and like punching a hole in the wall.
He went to his fridge, which was filled with spinach, threw them all out that night.
Look, is that the canned spinach? How tasty that is. Anyway, the time like Nintendo had the Popeye license, like they had just lost it, and then within 2 years after the success of Donkey Kong, they got it back, and he got to make his Popeye game.
He made a Popeye game, and it was okay.
Okay.
Isn't it just like a reverse Donkey Kong where it's like a V or
sort
something?
Sort of. More like you're running back and forth to collect hearts that Olive Oil drops.
And
you have to
game.
Punch bottles when they're thrown at you.
I feel like somewhere on the internet, somebody probably has remade Donkey Kong with Popeye.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like a midget, though.
I mean, yeah, until you get the spinach.
That's true. That is true.
So that's it for the top seven games that used to be other games. What were some ones that got cut off? So there was Mr. Pants.
Yeah, It's Mr. Pants was originally Donkey Kong Coconut Crackers before Rare got sold to Microsoft.
Yes, and...
Koopa, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's a bonus slide.
Oh, there is a bonus slide. I forgot.
Sleeping Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs is on here. The reason Sleeping Dogs didn't actually get a full-on mention is because, according to the developers, Sleeping Dogs ended exactly like Black Lotus, which was what it originally was, began, with minor differences. So originally, United Front Games was making their own game. They were just like, let's make an undercover cop game starring a female detective based on Lucy Liu in Hong Kong. Sure.
Why not?
So they started making it, and they were showing publishers, and Activision was like, hey, let's do that, except let's make it a true crime game because we believe that there are seven people who still care about true crime, and women don't sell games, so let's change it to a man.
Not the thing tisk, you want to be quoted on.
So that happens, and a few years later, that game just up and gets canceled, and because they said, like, they delayed it a few times and kept saying it looks amazing, and then Activision says, like, we don't think it's going to be worth our money. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be worth our investment, even though it was, like, almost done.
At the time, I was getting that game confused with This Is Vegas, another canceled open world
game.
I
played This Is Vegas once.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't bad.
You went to Vegas and got to play This Is Vegas?
No, they did it at E3 in, like, 2008, my first E3. They had this cool thing where when you punched people, it was super stylized and, like, poker chips would fly out. It was actually – it looked awesome.
I've never heard of this game.
Dude, you haven't? It's essentially Grand Theft Auto in Las Vegas.
It was a Midway game, so when Midway closed.
Yeah. Yep. And, but, so, after it gets canceled, Square Enix picks it up, because it went from Black Lotus, which was like the code name, to True Crime Hong Kong, and then they pick it up, and it goes to Sleeping Dogs, and Square Enix publishes it. And according to the people who made it, they're like, yeah, this is pretty much the game we set out to make originally. Like, every time the name changed, there might be a minor difference. But when, they, like, True Crime got added in, they didn't take any True Crime stuff. And when it got canceled, they didn't have to remove any True Crime
stuff. Okay, whatever.
But it's worth putting on here. It's a game that actually was totally the same as where it was originally, despite every indication that it shouldn't be. Like, it should have been a totally different game.
It went through a phase, that's all.
And it experimented.
Yes.
And the other game that was worth mentioning, I'd say, Wu-Tang Shaolin Style was originally
a PS2 fighting game that was originally Thrill Kill.
Yes, the oft-quoted as one of the most violent games ever back in the days when...
It didn't even fucking exist. Yeah, like, it never was available retail.
Yeah, Thrill Kill was a game that EA actually bought because it was super violent and it was like, and it just got canceled. And apparently not only... It didn't get canceled. They stopped work on it and were just like, let's just put some Wu-Tang in this. It's just literally what happened. They're like, let's just put some Wu-Tang in this.
In 97, Wu-Tang was pretty big.
Yeah. So that's it for the top 7. You can check out a new top 7 every week on GamesRadar.com. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the news and preview of Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13. Welcome back to the second segment. We have a lot of news for you, starting off with some Suda 51 news. Mm-hmm. How exciting is that?
Yeah, we'd every game they had announced had come out, so it was about time they announced a new one.
Yes.
Which is The Killer is Killer is Dead, or The Killer is Dead.
I think it's just Killer is Dead.
Which is not a sequel or even a spiritual sequel to Killer 7, but...
It looks quite similar.
It's still... this is what Suda has said, but it does look pretty similar. But so, yeah, it's got the usual Suda mix of crazy... killers and sexy ladies and weirdness.
The trailer intro is so weird because I was like, are they banging like on the ship? Is that what's happening?
It also has a 20% chance of being a fun game to play.
Yeah, so I genuinely, like, as soon as it was announced, I started making fun of it on Twitter and people got so upset with me. Like, people from other outlets that were like, what? Suda51's games are awesome. And it's like, if you look back, for every game he makes that's awesome,
he makes three of
them. Black Knight Chronicle.
So if you look back, Lollipop Chainsaw, which wasn't very good. What was that baseball game?
Diabolical Pitch,
which wasn't very good.
No.
Shadows of the Damned, which was good.
Yes.
But Shadows of the Damned, every game he makes at its best feels like a PS2 game with good graphics.
Yeah.
And that is what Shadow felt like.
Like, well, really long load times. Every level is super small. Like, it's just, like, super small corridor. You fight in it, you go in through a door, and it brings you to the next area.
It's still really traditional gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, but No More Heroes.
No More Heroes I liked, but it wasn't... I love No More Heroes, but I wouldn't say it was an amazing game. And, like, No More Heroes 2 was essentially just the same thing again, which was... It was fun, but, like, even, like, Killer 7, it's like, man, this game is cool, but it's kind of fighting against you playing it.
Yeah.
High in concept, not so
everything
high
he does are is, every idea he has is great, and then when it actually comes to making the games, Suda51's games aren't fun.
Shadows of the Damned was the one where the gameplay could finally meet his ideas in quality.
But that's not not the most recent game he made.
Well, some people like Cinemora, the shmup that they put out, though he didn't develop it.
It's just
Snap. I forgot about that.
But if you look at like his track record should not make you excited for his games.
Yeah, because Lollipop Chainsaw was Lollipop Chainsaw should have been a lot better than it was.
It played like, I can't even think of what it played like a late PS1 game in terms of how you actually interact with the game.
I'd say early PS2.
Maybe.
We're like splitting hairs.
You walk into a room, there's a stripper pole. What do? You walk up to the stripper pole. Cool. You hit X a few times and you kill it. Like, it's super, it's almost like, it still feels like his games always feel like tech demos for what the full game's going to be like. It's like, look, I'm going to make a level that's like this. Eh, this level's good enough.
We'll settle for that.
So is there any other announcement, really, information on this? Release date? Consoles?
I would bet it's still... for a company as cash-strapped as Grasshopper normally is, I'm betting this is still current gen. They're not going to start.
Who's publishing? Is it
no publisher announced it, or maybe Kodokawa in Japan, but nobody in America yet. Right,
we'll see. Oh yeah, doesn't even technically have a U.S.
It hasn't been announced for the U.S. right. yet. Yeah, that was a Japanese announcement.
All right, some games that have been announced for the U.S. Nintendo has revealed a bunch of release dates for its upcoming games, which is actually more bad news than good because a lot of the games that are supposed to be out soon. Aren't going to be out
we
soon.
Were promised a pretty good Wii U launch window, which when I saw it, I was a little incredulous, but hopeful that it would happen. Of like, wow, a launch window with Pikmin and Wonderful 101? Oh, that'll be great. And of course, that now is not. Nintendo defined the launch window, which I felt was a very generous description of a launch window, as November 18th. To the end of March, which is 5-month-long launch.
That ain't
window.
No and window.
And even with that, Pikmin 3, which everyone assumed was going to be a launch title when it was announced, is now no longer meeting that. And Wonderful 101 has been pushed out of that. And Animal Crossing has been pushed out of that.
And they
Animal Crossing's obviously a 3DS and a Wii game, but it's been pushed out of that window anyway.
And they've said that the first that it's still going to be the first half of the year. I hope those are both out before E3 because I read Chris Kohler, who's writes for Wired,
right? Yep.
Yeah, he writes for Wired, and he is always good for funny tweets from a discouraged Nintendo fan. Which his was, now that they've delayed these games, they can just show Pikmin and Wonderful 101 again at E3 2013 instead of new games.
Which is, that's the worst part about a game getting delayed.
Likely.
For,
I didn't even think about that.
Instead of showing all those new games they're going to show, now that those games got delayed and will be coming out if they come out in late June, why not spend 20 minutes showing them at the E3 press conference? I really hope that doesn't happen.
It's probably going to happen.
But in the good news, they did announce release dates for Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which is March 24th. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which is on 3DS and Wii U on March 22nd.
I might dabble.
And Lego City Undercover on March 18th. Now, you may notice another trend here. Those are all in the last 2 weeks of March.
Well, doesn't the launch window end in March?
I know. They can't spread it out just a little bit. They have no Wii U games for pretty much all of January and February, and then just dump them all in the last 2 weeks of March.
What a bunch of crumb bums.
Nintendo.
Come on. We want to give you money.
I want to love you.
Let me love you.
Let me in.
In
February is the Aliens Colonial Marines port, but they only commit to a Q1 release date. And on February 7th, the sequel to Fist of the North Star is going to be download only for the Wii U.
Fist.
Your favorite word, apparently. Yeah.
It can be a verb.
I'm not that excited. I really want to play Pikmin 3 and Wonderful 101, so me too.
Some slightly better news. Apparently, we're finally going to be getting some hard Destiny information at GDC. They're actually having a panel about it.
Oh.
So far, the information we have officially is that there's a snow level with Hellgast in it, according to that one screenshot. And... it's a video game.
There's a moon that's
that's not official.
That was all
part of a leak. A leak says that it's going to be. We talked about it in the bonus episode of Radio Radar, which was released this week.
4 hours.
Yeah, have
for
fun
that
with
entry.
That. Yeah. There's a moon, an alien spaceship that looks like a moon floating above Earth. Earth is ruined, save for one city. Aliens are trying to destroy that one city, and you play as a knight sworn to protect it, which sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with it.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it actually is, and that's February, right?
March.
That's March, right?
I think by March we'll know what's going on.
Hopefully. And the last big news story is a bill going.
Yeah. So
being pushed around right now.
President Obama finally had a big address of gun violence concerns following the Newton
Sandy Hook
Sandy Hook thing. which was really sad. But anyway, yes. So and part of addressing that, he addressed many things in it, but in there he did mention that he wanted to have more studies into the connection between video games and violence, and which is a discussion I never like to see.
But it's
going to
happen either way.
It always is going to happen.
But the thing that is confusing is, like, he said that he's going to create like a task force or whatever to investigate it, yeah. And then immediately after, some senator was like, "Fuck it, here's a bill."
Congress is jumping into the laws, and one of those was, what was it, the ESRB?
It essentially turns the ESRB into an actual law. Like, it uses the ESRB's actual guidelines as a law, which at face value doesn't sound that bad. But if you look at – so getting a game ranked by the ESRB costs a lot of money, which is why indie games don't do it. So let's say you want to release a Flash game. You'd be fined up to $5,000 for releasing a Flash game. Now, you may ask, why is that legal where I could release a YouTube video, which is essentially a movie, without going through the MPAA? And the answer is because old white people don't understand video games.
That's normally what it is.
Like, it is super. I mean, video games have recently been officially put under freedom of speech.
Yeah, it seems they forgot the Supreme Court thing that happened just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, and it makes it super I'm trying to think of the word. It's just super prejudice against gaming. It treats video games as something totally different from movies or television shows because it doesn't understand that video games are just like movies. Anyone can make them technically, and that is freedom of speech, the ability to express yourself in that way just like you would with a video. And if you start saying, well, video games need to be regulated in every game needs to be regulated at a legal level like the ESRB, that's going to create some problems.
Yeah, I would say the ESRB had
it would legitimately just destroy indie. Like, it'd be gone.
ESRB had a good response to this, which was like, I'll paraphrase. I don't have it up, but they said, like, they appreciate that Congress wants to, you know, keep kids safe from violent games. That's in the interest of the ESRB as well. But they do a good enough job now without the government interceding. And they brought up something in the past, which is when they were raided by an independent group, like, what prevents more kids from playing an M-rated game or seeing an R-rated movie? ESRB is and the people who enforce the ESRB on a retail level are far more successful than people in movie theaters or who sell DVDs. Like, the MPAA is, like, compared to the ESRB, a joke. Like, any kid can see an R-rated movie, so super easy. in ways that don't involve just pirating them or watching them on YouTube, but just going to a movie theater or. I don't see how the ESRB could be doing a better job if they were.
And this isn't even about that. Almost, it's just sort of enforced. It's essentially somebody. It's like somebody heard about the ESRB and was like, "Yeah, that should be the law," without realizing that there are other moving parts in the game industry. And I've had like some indie developers send me messages on Twitter just asking, like, "So what would this do? Do you think this would essentially destroy indie?" And the answer is kind of. I mean, my guess to be a realist, I'd say, is that the ESRB would probably launch some sort of indie version of itself, like maybe like lower the bar of getting reviewed by. Yeah. But at the same time, that's still
a
slap in the face to freedom of speech when it comes to gaming, because what's to stop you from putting up a video where you shoot a bunch of people on YouTube?
Yeah.
Like it's like Freddie Wong, the guy who does like special effects on YouTube. Every video he does is just like him doing cool special effects of like him getting in huge shootouts. It's like, and it's him glamorizing how cool the shootouts he can get in are. And that's totally okay. That doesn't have to be reviewed by the MPAA. But if somebody were to make a video game where you walk around petting kittens, they could be fined $5,000 by this law.
And this is, well, Congress knows this, but it is a common misconception in the public that like MPAA ratings on films are like legal. They're not. They're just as much a suggestion as an M rating is on something.
Right. They're not forced to adhere to a legal.
Yeah.
It's an independent group.
A business can not give you something based on their adherence to the MPAA, but they can't write you a ticket or arrest you for it.
Right. But the only difference is there are, like, the way that the gaming industry responds is, because when I worked at GameStop for a while, because video games want to, like, GameStop won't sell a game that's not rated by the ESRB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But not only that, Activision and stuff will not sell games to GameStop. It's this weird thing where, like, if GameStop gets dinged too many times for selling underage games or underage kids' games that they're not allowed to sell, then the ESRB can fine them, and gaming and, like, Activision and stuff, like, big publishers will be upset with them too, because it's like, we all have to work in this together. So it is sort of a self-policing thing. I'm not saying that it can't ever be changed or it shouldn't be touched or anything like that.
Or it's that just, it's perfect.
This specific law that's being passed around, I mean, odds, there's a really good chance it's just going to be ignored and shut down, because it especially if it's just like, I mean, over about a year ago, something similar, almost an exact same thing was passed around, and the Supreme Court shut it down. So there is
It was a California law, actually, from this very state.
But there's a Supreme Court, like, a lot of times when it comes to stuff like this, the easiest way to shut it down, like, legally, is to point at a previous legal example. I know this from watching lots of legal television shows. But it's true. It's like, if you can find a Supreme Court case where they ruled in such a way, it's really easy for you to get something destroyed. And this is California Supreme Court ruling that this exact thing is unconstitutional.
Yeah, it just annoys me that, like, it's just Congress wasting time with a bill that's already on a state level a similar bill has been proven unconstitutional. So it's just empty. It feels like empty action just to feel like we're doing something. See,
yeah.
Which no one has ever said Congress has done before, but it's happening again.
Yeah.
Those clowns in Congress, huh? What a bunch of clowns.
Seriously. What a bunch of jokesters. I watched a C-SPAN and just giggle. But yeah, that's it for the news today. You can check out a ton of more news on GamesRadar.com. But let's roll on to previews, including, or only, because it's slow right now.
Only.
Because Lorenzo was too busy to be on the podcast and talk about video games.
But the previews are about to get hot, hot, hot soon.
They are, but Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13.
Ah, yes.
So why is it called Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 and not Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns?
Well, that's because they... All right.
I laugh at that because...
There is a reason for it.
When they revealed it at PAX, when I was there, they said they just flashed the logo, and then people were like, oh, okay, Lightning is returning in Final Fantasy 13. What's the name of the game?
And Lightning Returns.
And then third time they said it, people in the audience were like, one guy shouted, that's the name?
All right, so, of course, this game is kind of under fire. I think, you know, we had this discussion in the office just the other day, but the biggest thing that Lightning Returns has going against it is the apathy of people who no longer, like, just don't give a shit about the 13 brand, which is a lot of even hardcore Final Fantasy fans. Like,
so tired.
That series.
I have friends that were freaking out when Final Fantasy 13 was announced and bought it immediately.
Yeah.
That have not looked at 13-2. Like, just like, even people who beat 13, you're just like, I don't care about this at all.
Yeah.
This world is confusing and kind of shitty.
And it's just like retains that, right? But okay, so I saw about 30 minutes or so footage of the game. I was actually pretty impressed with the amount that they showed off. A couple concerning things about it, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
So what is it?
Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13, just Lightning. She's the only playable character. And it's funny because the developers have had this like reactionary approach to the way they developed the series. Like the first game, Final Fantasy 13, that everyone was like, it's too linear. So they said, well, freak that. Check out 13-2, where you could time travel and check out all these alternate timelines of these same areas. And look how much you can explore. And then people were like, but there's no Lightning in it. And that was the one character we liked. And so then they're like, fine. Well, now you just play as Lightning. And
it's like super overreaction.
Yeah,
it's just like, we don't have an open world. We're just going to make Minecraft. We want to play as Lightning. It's just a game inside of Lightning's brain.
I think the biggest change, of course, is aside from the fact that there's only one character that you play as, is the revamping of the combat system, which is now kind of more of an action RPG than
is it
the
like
other games.
Kingdom Hearts style?
No, it's closer, I guess, I would say to Tales, the Tales series, where you're kind of running around in the battlefield.
That's kind of every remind time, me of Valkyrie Profile also.
Yeah, yeah. Every time you hit one of the face buttons, Lightning does something right then, you know. But really, she's three characters in one because you have three separate active time battle gauges
that you have to monitor, kind of like in the previous games in 13 series where you would switch between roles like Ravager or Medic. Those have different names now, but it's
I just got super excited for another tactical.
Functionally,
I really want a tactics game by Final Fantasy Tactics.
You'll cycle between her little schemes. They're called schemes. And it comes down to a lot of management of the three time gauges.
So which scheme has Lightning tying up a damsel in distress and leaving her on a train track?
But again, the whole premise of the day is
shame. I'm really
it's 500 years in the future from 13-2. You have 13 days till the world ends.
Whoa.
And the clock just runs down constantly.
Holy smokes, that sounds
okay,
intense.
That's another thing I am bothered with this series of 13 games, which is, man, maybe I got to make 13 games. But anyway.
Puns on the name 13?
No, is that, so they do Final Fantasy 13, and 13-2, from a story standpoint, is like so disconnected from 13. It may as well be a different game almost, a completely different series. Then this one, they're like, what is Lightning? But it's 500 years in the future. All the supporting cast is gone. None of the circumstances or areas you went to before there have at it. Like, just make a different
one.
It's
like they don't feel like they. It's honestly like at a meeting. They're like, we have an idea for a game, and it's this game where you time travel, or you can go back in time 13 days, and somebody went like, we really don't feel like making a new character model. Yeah. Like, it's what it comes down to is like, well, we spend a lot of money on Lightning.
I don't want to be cynical about FF these days, but it's...
There are some cool things, I think, that I'm personally looking forward to in Lightning Returns. Mainly that there's four giant continents in this world. You can freely travel between them at any time. I'm a little concerned about how the 13-day timer is going to work. Yeah. And how that may or may not screw you over.
Things like that always sound more interesting, or more... annoying than they're going to be. Like, I remember when I started playing Majora's Mask, I'm like, this is going to be the worst. And then once you actually play it, it lets you do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the least of Lightning Returns.
And the combat legitimately looked really fun. And of course, their big push now, too, is you can customize Lightning any way you want. You can change her hair. You can change the color of her dress. You can change what her shield looks like and what her sword looks like and all these kind of things.
Can I give her facial hair?
I wish.
I don't want like a lot. I just want like, you know how sometimes
just
like
give her a goatee.
I was gonna say like sometimes like if somebody doesn't like an old woman has like a little bit of a mustache going on, I want that except with Lightning.
So yeah, Lightning Returns fall. They didn't give a specific release date, but sometime this fall.
Fall.
I guess we'll see.
It's like one of the only fall releases on that's probably gonna hit. Granted, Final Fantasy is a franchise that just doesn't give a fuck about the console cycle in terms of like I could see them releasing it like. Final Fantasy 12?
Well, 12 was a very late in PS2.
Like, super
game.
Late.
But, well, it was weird because they with the Super NES, they were one of the first games out. Final Fantasy 4/2 is one of the first games out of Super NES. Then you go to the PlayStation, and it was 97 when 7 came out, so that was 2 years behind it.
But then 10 came out. Well, I mean, they made 3 on the PS1, which is also worth acknowledging in this conversation.
But then 10 came out pretty close, like within the first year of the PS2 lifespan. And I was hoping they'd repeat that with 13, but 13 had such massive delays. Like, it was like 4 years before the first one came out.
It's still weird how long this console generation has been.
Yeah.
Like, it feels, right now, it feels normal. Mm-hmm. But when you look back and realize that, like, you were, like... I think somebody pointed out that like Gears of War had already come out on the Xbox 360 if this generation had started when the original Xbox had started.
Wow, yeah.
Like we're like a generation and a half into another generation.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy with because that means I got to spend all that money on more games instead of new hardware.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's it for previews. There are a ton of other previews hitting Games Radar and some big previews hitting early next week for games we can't even talk about yet.
Done.
Right,
you know something you don't know.
Yeah, take that, idiots. We'll be right back with some reviews. Actually, not some, one. We'll be right back with one review. Right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay, be right back. All right, and we're back with the third and final segment of Radio Radar. Start right up with a review of DMC : Devil May Cry,
which I absolutely loved, although it had a few glaring issues for me.
Too much black hair.
Not enough black hair. No, DMC : Devil May Cry, reimagining of the Devil May Cry series by Ninja Theory. who has a history of putting out solid eights across the board. And
weird,
you know,
you said theory.
What?
Nothing.
Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory.
Like Guy Fieri.
Yeah, pound it, pound it.
Boom.
So, of course, there was tons of fan outrage.
I'm sorry. I have to. They're making capital D, lowercase d, capital D, diners, drive-ins, and dives. That's their next game.
Jesus Christ.
I'm so happy you stopped everything for that. You have no idea how happy I am that you found it necessary to break train of thought.
It was. I had to get it out there.
Good. I'm glad you did. DMC.
Yes.
Of course, a lot of longtime fans were really nervous that Ninja Theory would fuck things up. Personally, I thought the combat in DMC is the best that's ever been in this series.
Ho.
Which is some lofty words, but I...
Yeah, those are pretty big words.
And you played most of the PS2 ones, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I played...
Which are the ones
I think the one
people...
I played the least of was 4.
That one was okay.
So, 4 was good. 4 was good, it just
wasn't up to
I don't know. The new Dante was fine. He does, you know, he has a little bit of a salty language mouth. but it was never anything too distracting. I thought he was still a really fun character. The combat, though, I thought was really cool. There are eight weapons in the game, which, John, didn't you felt was a little much.
So, right? Yeah, my issue, I played through it as well. My problem with DMC is, so the way they do the weapons, I think, is brilliant. So the left shoulder button, if you hold it in, you will access your angel powers.
Demon. No, you're right. Angel.
Angel powers. And you have two weapons tied to your angel powers, and all of your angel powers are sort of about knocking enemies into the sky and keeping and juggling them. And then if you hold the right trigger down and use your abilities, you switch between two demon powers, which are about, like, smashing enemies into the ground. It's axes you swing down. Hulk hands that you just swing down.
Right.
I found that to be really cool. The issue was, because you had those two abilities, and sometimes there were enemies that would only be damaged by one type of weapon, or doors that were only damaged by one type of weapon, and you had three different guns, that there were often times where I was just sort of, like, hitting both triggers back and forth and smashing the face buttons and just being like, I don't remember. Like, in the heat of battle, it's hard to remember which is which. And then, like, there's also a dash move, and you can jump and dash, but it's only the left button does the dash. They do a good job. Like, the fact that you're able to seamlessly switch between eight weapons without much of a problem is super
sweet.
Impressive.
So...
But there is just enough complexity where I ended up sometimes getting overwhelmed.
So I would have been happy had they not included that third gun, the little explosive dart.
I literally shot it once and was like, nope, I'm good. It's like, shoot it, it's a dart, and hit two buttons and make it blow up. And then, like, every so often there'd be a scene that's like an enemy would jump up and a splash screen would be like, here's how you can use that gun to fight him. And I'm like, I'm good, I'm just gonna punch the fuck out of him.
Yeah, so here's the thing with
Hulk hands.
The combat for me, and again, one of the points, the negative points I brought up in the review is that those enemies that could only be hurt by your two weapons, they were extremely annoying because, A, it kind of reduced... You were really limited in the amount of combos you could do just because you're like, oh, now I can only use these two out of these eight weapons that I had. But, you know, when I wasn't fighting those, I actually could... I could remember which weapons to switch between, and I did okay kind of remembering the different combos that were available to me.
Within reason, yeah.
Yeah, and I was able to, and like, there were a couple times where I even chained in every weapon I had, and I was like, wow, that was really cool that I was able to do that.
I also just sort of feel like it was unnecessary to have that many weapons.
Sure.
It would have been good enough if you just got, if you had, like, left trigger or right trigger. But even then, the fact that, like, the fact that you hold down each trigger, like, you have a chain you can throw at enemies. And when you have the angel version, it pulls enemies to you, or pulls
to you
to enemies, which usually means you can use it, like, get up into the air, and if it's the other one, it pulls them to you, and it's like, I would sometimes mix those up, just because there's so many moving parts, especially when the platforming gets mixed in, where you sometimes need to switch between them.
Yeah, that could get a little confusing. I was really disappointed by the lack of enemy variety, though.
Yeah, it starts off, like, every battle is, like, three new enemy types.
Yeah.
And then, like,
not
like
so much
2 hours in, it's just, like, three of the same enemy types, except this guy's red.
Yeah, or he has a shield now. Cool. The boss battles in the game were... I had kind of mixed feeling on those. I thought they were awesome, the way that they were designed, in terms of what they looked like and the things that they did, but I didn't ever really think most of them were very particularly fun to
fight. They were fine.
They were super.
They were super fine.
Video game bosses where it's like, punch this glowing circle to make this guy stun and then punch him in the head.
And there was also sometimes an issue I had with knowing if I was, I mean, there's a health bar, but like knowing if I was doing the right thing to defeat them. Mm.
Well, especially the final boss, right?
The final boss was kind of, it kind of took me like an hour
to figure out what the special thing was you had to do.
And the special thing was, you just gotta, it's just like, oh, you just gotta do something you've been doing slightly different.
Right.
Which, by the way, reminds me of Heavenly Sword, right, which also had an extremely long, difficult, kind of mediocre final boss battle.
As did Enslaved.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't, true. Boss battles aren't their forte.
I can't stick the landing every time.
I know we disagree on this, but I had an issue with the platforming.
Yeah, where I thought it was fine.
Sometimes it was okay, but there are other times, like, so you can jump between platforms, which, just jumping between platforms, I never ran into an issue. But you also have the ability when you jump to glide. And there were a lot of times where you'd jump and you'd see a platform, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to glide to it or just land on it. But because the glide is a set length that you can't, like, bail out of, if you glide and you're not supposed to, you're going to overshoot it. And the gliding, you can't control it once you start moving. So there are a lot of times where, like, because the camera is sometimes sort of fixed a little bit, I'll go to jump to a platform and try to aim to it and do the glide, and Dante will just kind of go in a slightly different direction and just glide off the wrong way.
Whee!
That happened to me a lot.
I mean, yeah, but when you fall, you come back.
It's not a huge issue.
I didn't really have many problems with the platforming, but one of the coolest things I think about the game, though, was the way the world is built, right? Like the Limbo City, which is the demon infested.
Yeah, it's a parallel world to ours.
But I just loved how when you would be walking, it would be constantly shifting around you, like walls would close in or the ground underneath you would fall, or it was just always twisting and contorting, and I thought that was really, really cool.
It reminded me a lot of, I know no one else cares about this game, but Alice Madness Returns from earlier this generation, in that the world design is very reactive, and it, mm-hmm. The game was built in such a way where the developers could be like, we think it'd be fun if there's a level that's upside down, and we don't want to have to really explain why it's happening.
Yeah.
So they just would make it weird. Like, oh, just the world's screwed up. Deal with it. And I feel like that this game did that really well.
Yeah, it was...
Also, I was sending texts to Ryan as I was playing it, and an early text was, I don't think I like Dante at all.
Yeah, he's a lot different in the beginning.
Yeah, and at the end of the game, I genuinely liked him, and I understand why they made him the way they made him.
Well, yeah, it's like a character arc. Like, it's just that,
it's just
right?
Yeah, it's infrequent that you see games do such a working, not even, I'm not gonna say like an amazing character arc, but it's infrequent that it's done well at all.
I think that's because games always want to, like, they want you to know exactly who their main character, aka the brand, is from the start.
From the first trailer.
Yeah, from the very first trailer. They want him totally defined. I say him because it's almost always
him. Yeah, you mean him, yeah.
Yeah, they always want them so clearly defined. They don't want to send a mixed message that would happen if you, say, had someone grow over the course of
the game. Yeah, and this character definitely does have a really interesting growth, and you understand why.
Yeah.
Like, more as you would in a movie or TV series. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end, he's a different character, and you understand exactly why he's that character, and I don't think it felt heavy-handed at all.
No, I didn't think so either. I guess I was a little disappointed by the game's conclusion and final twist or whatever, but yeah.
I liked it.
It's all a dream.
No.
I actually liked it, and it's a fun game. What did you give it?
4 out of 5.
So you're saying that Ninja Theory made another strong 8.
Exactly. Right on.
One of these
right
days, they've always been like a AA developer that's just on like... They're so close to turning that corner to being a AAA developer.
I'm legit excited to see what they do next.
I'm rooting for them. Yeah. I'm rooting for them.
Do you think they'll work with Capcom again? Or just...
Depends on how this sells. If this sells well, they're already making DMC2. if it doesn't sell well, they're making...
Resident Evil
2. Not another. Enough. I guess they'll be somebody for hire for a different publisher.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm okay with that. I like them.
They feel
like they're a good version of Grin. Remember Grin?
Ugh.
Everyone gave Grin games, and then none of them ended up being very good. Like, Grin developed, like, 4 games in 1 year.
Bionic Commando was so good.
What? Oh, you mean Rearmed?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm sick of people giving them credit for Bionic Commando Rearm. Yeah, they can make a really great game that the blueprint was given to them 25 years ago. So if they recreate a 25-year-old game that they did not conceive, then they can make an awesome game.
But but when they actually made their own Bionic Commando game...
Yeah, Rearmed 2.
It was Wife Arm.
I didn't play that.
I'm thinking straight
Wife
up.
Arm.
They made Bionic Commando Reboot.
Simply Bionic Commando.
Yeah, Bionic Commando, which, by the way...
With the dreadlocks.
Yeah. That game was... I reviewed that game. It wasn't horrible. It was just bad. But at one point, they did some weird stuff where, like, if you died to a boss, sometimes the witty one-liner you throw at them would be different. Okay. And at one point, it was just like... I think it was something along the lines of, like, yeah, you think your health bar is big, let me take mine out and show you, or something like that. It was really weird, because the enemy had a gigantic health bar.
Wow.
I don't want to harp on this. I have to say this. In DDD by Ninja Theory, oh. Guy Fieri's hair will be black instead of frosted white. Sorry, I've been holding that in.
He'd have,
so long.
And his sunglasses would actually be on, not upside down around the back of his head.
I never understood.
And he
that.
Would curse all the time.
Well, it's because Guy Fieri's a jerk off. That's why.
Hey, this chicken's really good. Check out my fucking sunglasses.
I'm your dinner date, motherfucker. That's just for you, Lucas.
Thank you.
All right, community part. Yes. Last week's question of the week.
I have the stuff up right now.
Okay.
Oh, you do too?
Okay. Yeah, what's your most anticipated game of the year? Let's read a few entries before we get to the winner. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one of the entries. I don't know if Henry has chosen a winner, but I think one of the entries...
I do have a winner, if you don't.
Is it One Winged Antista?
No.
All right, One Winged Antista, who's not a winner, said he wants... That's not a
great name.
It is. I want Star Wars 1313 yesterday. The combination of Star Wars bounty hunter / smuggler / mercenary underbelly with the Uncharted gameplay makes me have to change my pants whenever a new video is released, which luckily isn't often.
I also liked Reborn Kusabi. You know, I make fun of Tom when he says he can't read these things, but they are tough to read. Anyway... They say, since I love me some Metal Gear, this year looks really good for me. I love Bayonetta, so Rising looks exciting, and I love... Boy, he says love a lot. Anyway, super excited for all the Metal Gear, and he has Naoto from Persona as their avatar.
Nice. So. And another runner-up, Cody Stovall, who's obsessed with Pokemon XY and wrote a very long entry as to why, but I'm just going to read the immediate comment on Cody Stovall's own comment, which is... Plus, I'm picking Fennekin, which I respect. But yeah. The person I think is the winner. Well, let's see. Is the person who you thought was going to be a winner's name start with an S?
No, but let's go with your winner.
All right.
I'm doubting my winner now.
All right.
So you
Schnazzy
don't
one
oh.
said, I'm almost embarrassed to say, but Animal Crossing 3DS.
Yeah.
I cannot describe the shame of hearing myself squeal with joy upon seeing the first preview with the character jumping in the water and swimming.
I can describe that shame.
I cannot come up with terms with how excited I was to learn I could work in the coffee shop and that KK Slider is now a club DJ. I'm a 30-year-old man, and I'm most excited for a game that when described to people, they look at you like you're just retarded. That is the winner this week.
That is a good one.
Did they win something from us?
Yeah, just shoot us an email at radioradar@gamesradar.com, and you'll win a game of some kind. We have a Lucas's desk full of stuff,
yes.
Including a signed card.
Oh no, we gave that away.
Somebody got that?
Yes, yesterday I was so happy. There,
who was
they
it?
Said,
do you remember?
Parker
Wilhelm.
He said, "My body is ready for the Reggie Fils."
We had a Reggie Fils made signature. Oh man, I'm happy Parker Wilhelm got that. But we have. Do you know what we have off the top of your head?
We got
a bunch of download codes for PC games.
We got
games.
A lot of PS3 games. If you like PS3, we got the hookup.
You're so hooked up, you can't even believe it. And
we don't want PS3 games.
Does anyone have a question of the week for this week, or should I go with a mediocre one that I thought of?
I don't have anything.
Nope.
No. All right.
Ryan, you got one?
Nothing.
You look like you have one.
I'm an empty box.
You're
a heart shape, but no, that's not how that song goes.
Just quit it.
Let's go with, what's the... I was going to say, what's the first violent video game you remember playing? I think that's fair.
Okay.
Do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
What's the first violent video game you remember playing?
Can I start here?
You can start.
Metal. Wait, my brain just shut down on me right there. Twisted Metal Black.
Wow.
Was my first M-rated game. And
so you had parents that followed the rules, I'm guessing.
So the deal was, like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to skip the cutscenes, which is where the crazy violent stuff happens, and then I'm just going to play the car game, because That was what I was in it for. But there was that one guy, Preacher, whose special attack was like some dude wrapped up in his trunk that he would launch with dynamite onto another car as he screams, "Repent!" And that was pretty violent for my young eyes.
Mine, original Grand Theft Auto, GTA 1 on PC. I remember playing it at a relative's house. My parents didn't, like, I'm sure I played some before then. This is the first one I remember playing. Mm-hmm. My parents really didn't care because they were like, whatever. So they were just watching me play it. And after a while, they didn't stop me, but they realized, they're like, huh, he is, he's beating people to death and driving over people and intentionally seeking out those joggers to run over. This is kind of weird. So I played it on my cousin's PC.
I lived in a pretty healthy diet of Double Dragon and Battletoads later on, but I think the first game that I remember being extremely violent that literally scared the shit out of me, I pooped myself, was the first Resident Evil on PlayStation.
That was scary as shit back in the day. Holy hell.
I think I've told this story before, but the brief version is my babysitter at the time, this nice lady, she's like, yo, my brother bought this game where you play Secret Agents and you kill snakes. Check this out. And she played the opening scene, that live action, which is now laughable. But at the time, to my 12-year-old self, 13-year-old self, I didn't sleep for about a week after that.
Man.
Scared the shit out of me.
You know, I was going to say Mortal Kombat, but it actually didn't even strike me as when I played it. Like, I was just like, yeah, it's punching guys and some blood flies out sometime, maybe. The first one I played where, like, I was, like, a friend showed it to me, and I was, like, looking around, like, am I going to get in trouble? Like, if my parents see this, he showed me, like, Doom 2 and Duke Nukem on the same, Duke Nukem 3D,
wow,
on the same day. Because I didn't have a gaming computer. His father, who was a divorced dad, who was, like, trying to prove himself, bought him an awesome gaming PC. At the time, awesome. And then when he's like,
my divorced friends always had the best gaming stuff.
He was like, look, man, I'm killing these pigs, and now I'm going to give this stripper money. And I was like, oh, man, my mom wouldn't like this. But I got over that. But it was, yeah, that would be mine.
Yeah, so let us know in the comments what's the first violent video game you remember playing, and you might win something. Just like a... Yay, something fun. So remember to review us on iTunes, to follow us on Twitter at GRRadioRadar. And to go to GamesRadar.com every waking moment of every day.
Wow. Refresh every time.
Refresh every time. Find the largest gallery and read it all several times over.
And comment. We love seeing
comments. We love comments.
We love asterisk comments.
We do. So be sure to check back next week, and we will talk to you then. Take care. All right, Ryan, now you can look at your cards.
Cool.
Instead of being selfish.
Impatient.
The topic is which has better characters?
I feel like this card has been in the mix about a million times.
Well, I feel like you've been in the mix about a million times.
On most of these, I get dealt really good cards, but I think this is my first bad
deal. This one is tough. Sorry, I will go
today, Ryan.
This.
All right, I'm going to go first. Secret of Monkey Island.
Okay.
One, you got Guybrush. Guybrush is a mighty pirate.
Yeah.
But he has a really interesting character arc that starts in that game. And even though it was made in, what, 90? He still has an interesting personality. Also, you have Elaine. You got the zombie.
Stan the salesman.
LeChuck, the undead pirate. It's full of good characters to the point where the reason the Pirates of the Caribbean movies were so popular was because of the characters, which were all ripped off wholesale from The Secret of Monkey Island.
The voodoo lady.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, I went with Super Mario Kart because it's got pretty much all the characters from all the Mario games, which, as everybody knows, especially Henry, are the best characters to exist.
Are you trying to, like, win a vote even though we're not voting? Right, Henry? Mario? Yeah. Mario's in this game.
Argue against it now, Henry.
Well, mine is every Kinect game because the star and the character is you.
You are the controller. Yeah!
You're not only the controller, you're the main character. And so, really, it's about, you know, having self-confidence and liking yourself enough to see yourself as a protagonist in the game.
And if you look at yourself and you realize it isn't you, you defeat that person, and that becomes your persona.
Yeah.
Well, what if you're just a boring dude?
I got to a part in Persona yesterday where everyone got drunk and talked about personas, and it was so fucking funny. It's just not really a spoiler. It's just like them trying to describe it. It's like, we just go, Persona! And then we beat up Shadows. And it was just like, wow, these are really just children.
I just love how badass he sounds when he says Persona.
Persona!
I went with Tekken, because...
What's Tekken you so long to get to the point?